to God. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We thank you for being the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, glory to God in the highest. We worship him, the one we love, the one we adore. Lord Jesus, you're more than 10,000 to our souls. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of honor. Thank you, Lord. Never forget the reason we come to the house of God. It's to worship him whom we love. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this afternoon. It's good to have a place of refuge from a world falling apart. And people looking for bomb shelters, as prophet said, all they need is the wings, the feathers. Amen. Feathers under God's wings. That's right. Amen. It's the safest place to be. And I know I've tested the Lord's patience, but I've proved it in my life time and time again. And under his wing is the safest place to be. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, I'd like to turn to Genesis 15. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother John. I saw that. Brother, prayer cloth down there, but amen. A good service on Friday night. But I'll leave it right now. But Dad might think he said things that I'm going to quote from, but really I was already inspired to say some things. So that's the way the Lord works. We might have to bypass McDonald's or something. So he knows that it was supernatural, not because he said something. But you all know that. Is many times. And here's the thing, like the prophet said, the reason Jesus comes by is because we talk about him.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Amen. And I'll be honest, a little bit, I kind of miss driving to church in that sense that, you know, for an hour, listen to a message and things, and really get to that channel of, Lord, you know, what are you going to say to me today? And not to say, like, we don't do that anyways, but you understand what I'm getting at. You're on the road, and that's about all you can do. Amen. And that's good. That's a good thing to do. Amen. We ought to play this message wherever we are. That's right. And we ought not to be ashamed of it. I don't mind you putting it, blasting, pull your windows down at the stop. Let them hear it. Amen. Just turn the bass down a little bit. I have learned, and this is just a little side thing, but to hear Brother Bram the best, you just need the middle. You don't need the treble. You don't need the bass. He's right in the middle. Right in the middle of the road. That's right. Amen. Remember, this road's only going one way. It's a one-way road, and we want to be in the middle. I don't want to fall off the edges. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. As Dad said, Brother Sampson, I got it posted there, and Brother Ernie's starting to build a little bit more to that plot of land that they were able to buy a few years ago, and they're finally starting to put up some things. Just keep praying we are able to bless and help them, and God can give them a house to meet in there. So, amen. Let's read here in Genesis now, chapter 15, and verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And we can stop there. I'd like to preach this afternoon. We continue on Father Abraham. Guardians of the revealed word. Guardians of the revealed word. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. And with every head bowed in the presence of him, is there a need you'd like to lift up to him? Say, Father, you know what's behind it. Believe with all your heart as we invite the Spirit of the Lord to have his way in the service. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for gathering the saints again today. We thank you, Lord, that we know the Spirit of God is here because we know there's liberty, Father. And in a world
constantly in bondage, we can come to a refuge of liberty, of freedom, Lord, from the things of the world, from what our flesh wants to do, and express in our hearts what our souls crave. And that's to worship you unreservedly, Lord, and give you the praise due your name. We love you so much, Lord. We appreciate you providing all the things that we have need of in life. Every time we have a request, Lord, you're there on the scene. We just so appreciate you, Lord. We don't have words to express how much you mean to us, Lord. But we come to do our part as best we know to lift you up, to give you praise, and to exalt what you've done in this day. Speak from heaven now. Show us, Lord, where we've fallen short. Help us, Lord, to be the Christians we ought to be. Mold us into the very image of the Son of God. May your blood wash us clean, Lord, that the Spirit might speak clear and deep. Meet each request on every heart in this building, I pray. Have your way in the service, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Man, there's such a liberty in the house of God, isn't there?
Amen.
Amen. At least there ought to be. If there any place we ought to be free to worship the Lord and to be in the Spirit, it should be in the house of God. And I'm sorry, message folks, but sometimes we just got too rigid about that. Sometimes we just got too many rules about worshiping. And last I checked, as I've read the scriptures, a few times now, I've never seen God one time tell somebody, hold back. It's too much worship. That was too, yeah, we're scared to death to worship too much. Hey, you can't do it, brother, sister. You can't do it. I'm sure glad he went all the way when he went to save me. I want to go all the way when I show him I appreciate it. Amen. If you think I'm crazy, well, then just get saved. That's right. Hallelujah. I remember one time a sister used to always sit towards the front, had to sit in the back one service, and got back there and realized, man, a lot of people don't really praise the Lord back here. Said some people back here need to get saved. That's right, because look, I understand shouting and screaming ain't what makes you saved, but if you got saved, don't tell me you can't show a little excitement about the grace of God in our lives. Brother, sister, we were in the pit, we were in the miry clay, we are stuck there without a way out, and the mighty hand of God has come to us and pulled us out of sin and shame, giving us not only life here, but an inheritance from eternity. Praise his holy name. And here we are going back to our father Abraham. And he's still Abram before he even had his name changed, brother, sister. If it wouldn't have been for this one man to stand on the promise of God, you and I would not be standing on it today. He is the father of the faith. Even to when the rich man, as we know, died and looked over from the chasm, who did he see Lazarus in but in Father Abraham's arms? Amen. He was given credit to where, I mean, just imagine if you were Abraham and every child of God is called Abraham's seed. Just imagine if you were David and the Messiah was called the Son of David. Amen. But God has given us a name, brother, sister, that surpasses all names that's ever come. He not only made us part of his name, he gave us his name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Just going to go ahead and get into business right now. Hallelujah, brother, sister. We ought to be having church. We ought to be having real church. We ought to be the place where the Holy Ghost actually does move.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm sick and tired of watching the Holy Ghost able to move in some denominational fair because you got a few people that at least get excited enough to give God a chance. And here we are with all the truth of the Word from Genesis to Revelation, and we can't even break a smile heartily. Sometimes I think people are so iron-faced that their face might break if they tried to smile. I haven't done it in so long, you know, and anybody tell you, most of the time it don't even make sense, but everything, if you don't use it, it wears out and you lose it.
That's right.
You can do it with your car, for crying out loud. You put it in the garage, you don't run the thing, it will be junk.
Yep.
If you keep it out there, keep it oiled up,
Yep. Keep
it rolling, keep things up to date, hallelujah, stay with that revealed word,
amen.
It'll run on all cylinders, no problem.
That's
right. I don't care if it's 50 years old. If somebody take care of the thing, it'll still run. I don't care if you're 100 years old. You take care. By the grace of God, you can still run in the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I understand, as the prophet said, it ought to be the young men leading the way. But that don't mean Caleb ain't still in the camp somewhere. You say, well, there's only one Caleb. Well, then let there be only one you. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Whew. Here was Abram, as we understand. Abram was given a promise. and he would inherit a land. And I love, again, as I've expressed time and time, almost every service, his connection with God was on such a personal level, brother, sister. It shows Abraham was under, and even Abram was under the covenant of grace. Because even though Abram had made many mistakes, he had made big mistakes. He had lied in the face of kings for his own skin. Come on, he had heard the commandment of God, saw it in a vision, angel tell him what to do, didn't do it. That's right. And you and me cut ourselves short. Look, that God is full of grace all the way from Genesis to Revelation. The God of the Old Testament is not a different God of the God of the New Testament. He is the one same God. And we got it all messed up, I'll tell you what, because the day of grace is about over. And everybody's still looking for the gracious Jesus to come. And that's not the one coming to this place. The one that's coming to this place, who they thought was in the Old Testament, but he's still alive and well in the New Testament. If you reject grace, you get judgment. That's all there is to it. And the world's starting to pick up on that. They're starting to recognize things are getting bad. You know why? Because they're already under the judgments of God. And if it wasn't for the bride of Christ, this thing would already been wiped up. But I thank God that though it looks like everything's falling apart, God has predestinated a people that will manifest this revealed word in this day. And they are the guardians that keep the word alive. In every age, God has had those believers that kept the word alive. We can trace our lineage from now. The prophet did it all the way back to the New Testament church. And then when the revealed word was opened, we chased it back all the way back to Adam. Amen. God has always had a believer in every age. And as Brother Bram said, even if he got down to one man, he always had a witness. Amen. And we are called to protect this word, brother, sister. Now, we've got plenty guardians of the written word. We got plenty of guardians of the intellectual word. We got plenty of them that's got all the quotes lined up just in case you ask the right question. I'll go look up my message manual and tell you the answer. But brother, sister, we've got very few that guard the revealed word. This was told by the church a long time ago, all the way back in Jude. And Jude was one of the earliest books in the New Testament. He probably around 50 or 60 A.D. there. And Jude told us, what did he tell us to do? He says, let me find it real quick. For the life was manifest. That's John. Let me find it. I knew that didn't sound right. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. And for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Believers are the only ones that are supposed to hold the word tight, brother, sister. The only ones who know what it's really all about. That's, as Jude's saying here, they crept in unawares. These were people in the church. These were men that came under a different anointing than what was already established when the faith was first given. There was one Spirit given, brother, sister. There's not two, there's not three, and you can't update it. It's eternal. You either got the Holy Ghost or you don't. And the Holy Ghost will always bring this word back to reality. Amen. And there were certain men crept under our wires. What did they do? They turned the grace of God into it's okay to do whatever you want to do. It's okay to sin. It's okay to lower the bars. God didn't do that for Abram, and he won't do it for us. Amen. When he, as we said before, God came and spoke to him, didn't he? He packed Lot around. God said, all right, we're going in the land of promise now. Don't forget what I told you last chapter. What did he do? Went ahead and took Lot anyways. You don't hear God talk no more. You don't hear God talk no more. A famine comes in the land. God don't say a word to him. He gets carnal and says, well, I guess God's abandoned me. I better just go fend for my own. I'll go back to Egypt. I'll just skip church so I can make sure I make enough money. And I don't got time to read and pray. I got to work overtime. I just got to get the dishes done. I mean, it just has to get done. I know I didn't do my devotions, but it's okay. Brother, sister. And that's when you lost it all. And Abram went down there back to Egypt and said, just like Peter did, didn't he? After it all went down, all the, you know, Jesus, he's dead and gone. He said, well, I guess I'll just go fishing again. And you know how well that worked? You saved all night, couldn't find one. You can go ahead and try that way all you want to. Go ahead. Go ahead. Try to take care of your own finances. I'm going to tell you what you're going to pull in. Debt. That's worse than it was in that day. At least they didn't bring in anything. We bring anti-fish. We bring in stuff that eats our fish up. What little we did have. That's why Jesus was very careful to say. He says, they that have not will be taken away even that which they even appear to have. That's happened in our day, brother, sister. There's many who appeared to have something in this message. And what's happening is even that little bit that they did have, or it looked like they had, God is exposing you never had it in the first place. And whatever, like we've had these ministers leave, look like they had ministries. Now they got nothing. It wasn't show that it wasn't them that was right. It was the gift of God God put in that man. While people had enough faith to pull from that gift, sure, the word went out. But look, even Judas did that, but didn't fool Jesus one bit. As far as Judas, he looked like he was a guardian of the word, but only of the man standing there, as long as the man was putting money in his hand. The second he found a better way to make more money, the revealed word went out the window. Now, how do we guard the word, brother, sister? And too many times, in Abram in his time, as we understand, he wanted to know. He was so close to God, he said, God, show me a sign that shows me I'm going to be this inheritor that you're talking about. That I'm going to get this land. He said, sure, I'll do it. And he told him to make the sacrifice. We understand it's a perfect type of Christ and the sacrifice and all the symbols there. We could preach all month on that. But what happened? He finally got it all done. And what happened? It wasn't smooth sailing. He had to stay awake and make sure that the fowls didn't eat his offering. He had to stay up all night and pray through that the Holy Spirit didn't depart out of his house. Hallelujah! Jacob had to wrestle all night, brother, sister. But just endure, please. Just endure, because in the morning you get a name change. Hallelujah! Abraham fought it out. And I was trying to end on that. We'll just bring it in now. Abraham fought the battle all night. He kept it away with his... He looked legalistic to the unbeliever, but he knew he had a revelation. This sacrifice must make it. Until I hear from God. Amen. And when you put your heart on the altar and you want the Holy Ghost, you leave it there until God witnesses from heaven and fills you with the Holy Ghost. You got to keep all that unbelief. Oh, you're getting too tired. If God wanted you to have it today, you'd get it. You just got... Get that fowl out of here. Come on now. It goes the same when you're in service. I need healing. I need healing. Well, maybe it'll be next week. Get out of here. You know, stay off. Stay off. Hallelujah. The word was written for us, brother, sister, not for just those in the past. Hallelujah. This wasn't even written down yet. Abraham was living it. Why? It was the revealed word. The revealed word is never the ink on the page. The revealed word takes the ink and shows you it's laying right around you on every wall. Everywhere you're looking is the word of God right now, brother, sister. It's just written all over the place. Hallelujah. But God don't work in static things. He works in living articles. Glory to God. Many people, even amongst our ranks, were starting to turn into apologetics, which means you fight doctrinally. Essentially, you run things back and you show, well, yeah, I know there's a thing here, but if we really trace it back, it's really true here. But brother, sister, that never converted one soul. Converted many minds. It's converted many fleshes. It's made a lot of people feel good, give them some comfort. By the end of the day, you ain't converted. You don't get converted here. God don't need our heads. God don't need our hands. He needs our hearts. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me show you how you're really, according to the Scripture, supposed to protect the Word. Let's go to Titus. Titus chapter 1. And Titus is talking about the bishop of a church, but we understand, as believers, we're all priests. Men are priests of their homes. Women are the intercessors for their families. Isn't that right? Brother Bram called a woman the sixth or the 11th beatitude. That's or the sixth or the fifth gospel. There we go. You're part of it, brother, sister. So we ought to all try to adhere to these things. Titus 1, and we'll just start at verse 7. He says, "For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word which he hath been taught, and he may be able by sound doctrine."
both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not to, for filthy lucre's sake. Of themselves, even a prophet of their own said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. And I'll just stop there. What's he saying? Look, he tells a bishop, what does he say first? He says, there's a certain life you ought to be living. There's a certain doctrine you ought to be holding. But brother, sister, when he said with sound doctrine comes from doctrine that lives. See, you can preach it right all you want to. You could get anointed back here and say it just the way the prophet said, just the way the Bible did. But if it doesn't live, it's not sound doctrine. Amen. Hallelujah. Look, and we deal with this in the world all the time. Somebody say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Oh, yeah, sure you will. And they got a lot coming out here, but nothing seems to get to real life. Isn't that right? You know, you got... Democrats are the best at this, brother, sister. I'm just going to say it. Man, they just tell you, oh, we got to help the poor people. We got to help the middle class. We got to get there and get in our hands. Really? And why are you sitting on $20 million? Right. Oh, we need to get legislation passed to help the poor people. Look, we don't need legislation to help poor people. There's a really fine thing that we've been implemented in this country that you can do if you want to help poor people. It's called charity. Go give it. Oh, no. We got to get legislation passed. We got to force people to do it. Well, you won't do it either, so I guess we got to force you. You're right. See, it's just a lie. You say one thing out of one side of your mouth, and you're doing something different. And as long as that's the way we live our Christian experience, we aren't living sound doctrine. Amen. Sound doctrine. Look, that's not what convinces gainsayers that you can say it right, that you can, that's not what he was saying. He was saying your life should live in such a way that it'll be just like Jesus when he healed the man. They said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We know there's been a notable miracle done, and we can't fight it. So you know what we'll do? We don't got any options. We can't fight the sound doctrine, so we'll just kill the sound doctriner. Hallelujah. God don't need us to guard it intellectually, brother, sister. And if, as long as we fight that battle, we're going to lose. Because the devil won that battle. God let him win that battle. That's right. God don't fight the devil in intellect. When the devil... Oh, hallelujah. Go read the book of Jude. What did the devil come? He said, where's Moses? I read in here. I'm allowed to get him. I'm supposed to have rule over death. Because remember, he still had the keys then. He said, wait a minute. You're supposed to give him to me. What the Lord said... Did the Lord rebuke you? He said he didn't bring a reeling accusation. He didn't come firing back. He said, I'm God, get out of here. Lord rebuke you. I want this one. Right. Saying, that ain't fair. You ain't God. Hallelujah. Like I tell my students, he that writes the grades makes the rules. Hallelujah. Saying, oh, that ain't fair. Well, I could type in a zero real quick here. You tell me what's fair. Amen. See, everybody wants the privilege, but they don't want the responsibility. Oh, everybody loves divine healing. They love feeling the Spirit of God, but they don't want the responsibility that if you don't take care of it, you'll bring a reproach to the same God you're trying to exalt. Amen. Hallelujah. Whew, listen to this now. Exposition, it's out of the Church Age book. It's chapter 3 of the Ephesian Church Age. And I'm going to say this to some of us here. Are we getting to the point where we have blind faith, or do we actually know what we believe? I'm trying to get past this, but I haven't been able to do it here recent. I say the Church Age book. Have you read it? I say the Church Age book. Does yours look like that? And you say, oh, Brother Andrew, you're just bragging. No, I'm not. I'm showing you. You either believe this for not, or you just blind faith. God has not asked us to be blind faith. He's given us the revealed word in this day. And one of the main things you can do to protect it is actually read it. Hallelujah. Man, I'm trying to move on. But look, right when I started serving the Lord, I wasn't even serving the Lord yet, but I wanted to hear about it. Nobody told me to read this. I said, wait a minute, you tell me about this prophet things? This is what he gave to everybody to read? Give it to me. Oh, it's Revelation 7 seals? Okay, give it to me. Let me read it. And then you wonder why you get the confusing things. Well, if you had the revealed word and you were guarding it, you wouldn't get confused. That's right. It's
Because look, and I know this will hit certain things pretty hard, but you can't get the revelation of this full book without what God reveals by his prophets.
Amen.
It's never happened in any age. You walk in the days of Jesus himself, they looked at the right promise. They had a prophet come out of the wilderness and say, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He pointed right at the man and said, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He came and he baptized me. He says, John, bear witness, I saw the Holy Ghost come down and indwell this man and say, this is my beloved son. And they still tried to kill them both. They did actually kill them both. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Came down time. They took John the Baptist. Sure, Herod tried to stand in the gap for him, but just shows without a relationship with God, it don't matter. Pilate did the same. He tried to stand in the gap for Jesus. Couldn't do it. Thank God they didn't do it, because we needed that man to stand in the gap for us.
Amen.
All right. We got copies. No excuse there either. You can read it, brother, sister. You ought to read, and you ought to read again, and read again, and read again. If there's anything you ought to read, and I'm all for reading sermons too, and listening to them. But this book right here, if you want the revelation of what this message is about, it's all in here. Kiver to kiver, brother, sister. And it sounds like I'm exalting that over the Bible. I'm not, because every revelation here, I'll just give you an idea. You see all the blue? Those are scriptures that he quotes.
Amen.
And I think I missed a few of them. So don't tell me he's not bringing out the word. He is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sorry. I'm going to drop that. I got a quote I want to read in here later. I might have lost my page right there. Nope, there it is. Okay. Let me read you out of the Ephesian church age. Listen to this. Go back to Pentecost before it's too late. But as usual, people don't heed God's warning. The revival fire built upon the sacred word is so wonderful, and the manifestation of the Spirit so blessed that a little fear creeps in, and a whisper in the heart says, how can we protect this truth we have? What can we do to see this revival goes on? That is when the Antichrist spirit comes in and whispers, look, you have the truth now. See that it doesn't get lost. Organize and set up your creed of what you believe. Put it all in a church manual. And they do it. They organize. They add to the word and they die, just like Eve did for taking one wrong word. It's God's word that brings life, and it's not what we say about the word that counts, but it's what God said.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We're getting to the place, brother, sister, where we're trying to make the revival live, but it never died.
Right.
We're trying to bring the gifts back, but they've never left.
Amen.
And the second we finally believe it, we're trying to make the rapture happen, and it's happening.
Amen.
We're trying to make Pentecost return, and it's already here.
Amen.
Brother, sister, there ain't no church needs to hear that more than this message.
Amen.
Everybody says, where are they at? Where are these things? Where are these mighty acts of God? They're all around you, and you're ignoring it because you don't feel good. You're ignoring it because the trials are harder. You're ignoring it because life's getting tougher than it used to be. That's where the miracles happen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Or you wouldn't think it was a miracle. You just think it was just good life. Miracles only come from great adversity.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You think, oh man that was, you know, at the pool of Bethesda. What a mighty miracle happened to that man. God raised him right up. He took his bed and walked home. He was that way for 38 years. Everybody wants the pool of Bethesda experience, but sure bypassed the 38 years.
Right.
We aren't careful to give the praise in those 38 years. We're careful to complain about it.
Yeah.
And that's why you never get to there.
Right.
What did that man, God knew that man had an expectation. Go read it. Because he said, look, I'm right here where the revealed word is for this day, that an angel comes here and the first one that gets in there gets healed. I've been believing that every day. I just could never seem to get there. He said, well, that revealed word that was there is standing right here now.
Amen.
We've moved on. As you want to be healed, I'm right here.
Amen.
He said, rise and walk. And he could have done and left the revealed word and went back to his denominational word and said, but we're supposed to keep the Sabbath. We're not supposed to get too loud in church. We might disrupt the service. We're supposed to let the prophet preach, so I can't worship the Lord too loud. Somebody else might not hear it. Brother Bram said it very carefully. brother said, "Man, Brother Branham, I get so excited back there. I just can't help myself. I just give big, hearty amen. I'm afraid I might disrupt it." He said, "Disrupt me. I'll be disrupted if you weren't doing it."
Amen.
Amen. Because I don't see, it's not here to feel good. It's here to let the Holy Ghost have His way. And if you received a word, the only way I can tell is by you showing something.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Whew. I can't even do it in school, brother, sister. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Some teachers, professors, they just get up there and, "Oh, there it is." Don't even see the class. They're half of them asleep, half of them looking at the wall. Nobody knows what he's saying. I can't do that. I look right at him and say, "Do you know what this means?" "Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening." It's like, I'm not here to show and tell my math. I'm here for you to learn it. Can you hear? And I'm not here to show and tell my faith. I'm here to show you an example that Jesus Christ is the same, that this message lives, that the prophet, the God of the prophet, is still God of us today.
Amen.
And He's manifesting Himself right out of us, brother, sister.
That's true.
And it's all around you. And I can't speak for every church, but I can speak for here. You've seen it all. You've seen every promise that God promised within these four walls. Three walls and a curtain. Listen to this now. This is coming out of Smyrna, that's right. Smyrna Church Age, page 148. It says, "People repent of their sins, they get baptized in the water, but they don't go on and receive the Holy Ghost." Now this is in all caps, so obviously this is important.
Yep.
We can go fundamentally. We can be a protector of the written word. But the protector of the revealed word says, "Yes, I repented, I got baptized, and I got the Holy Ghost because God promised it."
Yes.
Amen. And when I finally meant business with God, He meant business with me.
Amen.
No fault of God, it was my fault I didn't get it sooner.
Sure.
People repent of their sins, they get baptized in water, but they don't go on and receive the Holy Ghost. You believe unto receiving the Spirit. Believing on Jesus is a step in the right direction, which is towards the Holy Ghost, but the people stop there. They go as far as water and then stop. They believe and then they stop. The Bible does not say that when you believe. It says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? The exact and literal interpretation is, did ye, having previously believed, and that's true, go look it up, having previously believed, receive the Holy Ghost? The people believe and then stop. They don't receive the Holy Ghost when... You don't receive the Holy Ghost when you believe unto Him, having repented. You go on and receive the Holy Ghost. Do you see it? That is what is wrong with our fundamentalists. They have no power, for they stop short of Pentecost.
Amen. That's it.
And that's a whole sermon in itself. And I'm going to have to take my time. I just can't bypass this. It's too important. We cannot stop short of the real, genuine, scriptural, Pentecostal experience.
Amen.
Brother, sister, and I say this with all respect in my heart I can to ministries, to those around, to those who claim to believe this message, but I've been in too many services where we stop short of Pentecost.
Amen.
We literally come up to the border. We believe the word. We pave the way. And then we're done. See how quiet it gets? Because you're going back there. You're seeing it.
Yes, sir.
You're seeing times where the Holy Ghost is just on a service. You say, "My, what a mighty presence of God." And a spiritual believer is looking for, okay, who's going to prophesy now? Who's going to raise up out of a cot? You know, you get to that channel of faith. Do you feel it now? Amen. That channel of faith that really all things are possible.
Yes, sir.
And then what happens? Half the church, they ain't never even experienced it. They ain't expecting it. They don't got nothing to do. We had the preaching. He's getting up there. And a lot of times, I'm going to say it as a minister, people want you to do something. They're waiting for the minister to do something. The minister's done. It's now the congregation as a whole. And that includes the minister, but it's all of us. We're all part of the body. And once the word has gone forth, it's time for the body to take that word, to eat it down, and let it live. And if we can't let it live right in the service, how in the world are we going to go out in the world and let it live?
Amen.
We get to the end. As I said, with all respect, but I saw it again on Friday night. See, I hope this is all right, but this is for us. Like I said, I can't, but I'm sitting there feeling the Holy Spirit begin to move on that service. I didn't know if I was going to end up doing something, to be honest with you. I was just such a presence of God there. And brother gets up, just makes a few comments and says, "Well, you know, it's good to be in the service. And we got refreshments out there, and, you know, God bless you."
Brother, sister, you missed it. We're missing it. And I'm not saying it's always that way. I'm not saying those ministers are condemned to hell. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying our services, if we stop short of Pentecost, we're a complete waste of time. Because what happens is what Jesus said happens. He says that seed goes forth. The seed of the Word goes forth. But then the cares of life begin to come. We've been here a while. I'm tired. And look, I understand, brother, sister, because I hate to break these single brothers. It is harder to be a Christian married and with kids. Read your Bible. Paul said it. I would that all men were like me. Because then they wouldn't have to fuss with all that. But let every man abide in his calling. I wrestled that boy Wesley all service. 2 hours worth. But see, that's what I'm called to do. I'm going to do it. And I get him, pull him together and say, amen, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Why? Because we're here to be in the Spirit. I ain't here to make a bunch of excuses. I want to see God moving His people. Amen. Got to the end of service. Got them fist up, just whatever I could. And we're going to worship the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord. You know, we're all here to worship Him in Pentecost. And a real anointing of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not here, but literally the life is in me. And it's here now pulsating a life that goes beyond my thinking. It goes beyond me protecting it here, but it's protected because now it lives to where the devil can't talk me out of it.
Amen.
Glory to God. If you've never came to that place yet, brother, sister, you've stopped short and you're believing Moses' testimony, don't even know what the pillar of fire is actually there or not.
Amen.
And it's one, you don't necessarily have to see it here, though. Is that okay? Brother Bram said, not everybody's got to be a Moses. But look, and I'm just going to be honest with you. Most of you have seen the cloud in this building right here. And I usually don't see it. But I believe it. But I know it anyway. See, you don't have to see here. You need to see by revelation. That's a guardian of the revealed Word. Hallelujah. Let me read you a few quotes and then I'll show you where we're going today. The unfailing realities. Oh, that's a good title, isn't it? The unfailing realities of the living God. See, they'll come, they'll go to church, they'll go to school. Boys will go to school to learn to be a minister, which is all right, nothing against that, to learn to be a minister. But you can't learn to be a minister. Minister's gift is a gift from God. Them apostles were smart and educated. He says, well, they wasn't, but he still wouldn't let them preach until they received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And when they got the Holy Ghost, now if you go to a seminary and the experience that you got on Pentecost comes on you, amen. Seminary itself ain't the problem. It's taking on a seminary spirit. That's right. Hallelujah. He says, but if you just come out through intellectual conceptions and a master of Greek and a master of art and all out through or all different things, a bachelor's degree and all them other things, if you come out with those degrees, you're just giving your strength of your education. You want to give your heart to God. God wants your heart.
Yes,
yes, sir. And he talks another time about Samson. How many know? Samson gave his strength to God. God used his strength. He didn't really have muscles. He had faith. And that faith picked up gates and threw them. That faith took a job on and killed 1,000 men. He had great faith to where Paul made mention of him in Hebrews 11. That's right, the faith chapter. But when it came down to the end of the road, he never gave his heart to the Lord throughout all that time. So God could never use him to his true capabilities, but praise God. When it came to his dying moment, when he came to where he backslid so far he didn't see a way back, he began to feel the promise again on his back. He began to feel those seven locks hit him on his back and his shoulder and said, that's right, I'm still called.
Amen.
I've made a mockery of my calling, but I'm still called. Our message, we might have missed it, but I still believe it, Lord. And if nobody else does, I will. Once more, Lord, let your power come on me again. Why? Why did God honor his prayer? Because he meant business. He said, let me die with the Philistines. Let me put my life, let me be like Moses, that I'll stand in the gap just so long as this word lives and it's guarded, it's protected, that God didn't fail when he sent me.
Amen.
But God proved his word was true. And I love how the Bible says he killed more in his death than he ever did in his life. And brother, sis, that's the same for you and I. As long as you're alive, God might use you, but you'll never do what you can if you'll just die.
Amen.
Because the second you're dead, then Christ lives, and he gets a whole lot more done than you and I.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Great Commission, 1958, says, not be better, join church, quit your meanness. You can do all that. You'll not have eternal life, see?
You can join church. You can belong to denomination. You can live just as straight as a die. Those Pharisees did. And Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. See, we're putting it on works all the time. Something we can do. Something we can build. God don't need our buildings. God needs our souls. We're talking about sound doctrine. Let me show you sound doctrine in the Bible. Go to Acts 13. Acts 13. And Acts 13 is a very unique case where Paul is dealing with a man and he begins to find resistance from somebody else. He begins to see somebody else trying to take this man from the faith. And what moved Paul was his love for this man's soul. What moved Paul is he wasn't trying to convince him to go to his church. He wasn't trying to convince him for some political reason or to make more money for his tithes. He was interested in this man becoming saved. He was interested in this man not being deceived, brother, sister. And this is what moved him to do what he did. He says, now they were in the church that was in Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manenine, which had brought up the Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fastened, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. So Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed on Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had to John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle of Phaphus, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Or message believer. All right, let's make sure we don't put this in the past and put it today. Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all unrighteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, oh glory, when he saw what was done, believed,
yes,
being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. See, we, too many times in this message, would have heard this man start using his quotes and his scriptures. Look, he was a false prophet because he wasn't preaching what the Word said. Right. And you know what a false prophet makes you? A sorcerer. Amen. Because that's the devil's copy of a real prophet is a median. Who claims to have a connection with God but really doesn't have nothing but a connection with devils.
Right.
Amen. And the devil's very careful to try to use the word any chance he can because he knows that's his best deceit is to bring the word into it. And here was this man. As Paul was trying to witness to him, here come this other man and said, well, that's pretty good, but you know, that was 50 years ago. It probably still, we got to update that a little bit. I know it says the Lord heals all thine diseases, but God knows your case is different. I mean, salvation with the real born again experience and emotion and things, that's all of the past. You know what the prophet said. The mystery of the day is the Holy Ghost without sensation.
Yeah.
And what do we do? We go get our bag of quotes, our bag of scripture, and say, all right, let's fight it out. And what happens? We look like a bunch of fools. We look like any other denomination fighting, stewing back and forth. And then we all go home and pretend like we're all in one accord and hunky-dory. And you know what? As much as you think that's in the mess, that's what every denomination does all the time. All the Baptists don't agree. All the Pentecostals don't agree. All the Church of Christ, actually none of them agree. That's the problem. None of them are in agreement at all. But they'll go back and say, well, we got to be brothers because Jesus said so. And we can fall on the same track if we fight doctrine, if we think sound doctrine is literally lining up quotes against you. And if I got five, you got four, I win. No, you're both missing it because I should be able to have all nine.
Yeah.
If you think this is contradicting this, you ain't got revelation. Because the same devil, and I ain't afraid to say devil, that'll do that with quotes, if you stick with that line of thinking, you'll start doing it here. And before you know it, you'll get rid of this and say, oh, it's King James. They change things. And you know what happens? You're fighting the devil on his ground, and he's real good at it. And you're going to lose. You're not a defender of written word. You're not the defender of intellectual word. You're the defender of the revealed word. And the revealed word comes out on flesh, and it proves it's alive. Amen. This man began to fight against Paul. Isn't that right? Began to tell him, Paul, you don't know what you're talking about. And Paul, here's the thing. If Paul was going to defend himself, he wouldn't have done it. How many knows that? Because he had the same trial. He had that woman come by and constantly say, these are the men of God, and we're trying to make money off them and all this stuff. And he just went on, just ignored it, just moved on. Because he said, he understood, I got reproaches, I'll take my trials, it's no big deal. Right. And then the Holy Ghost moved on and told him to turn around and rebuke that thing. That's right. But this was different. This was another man's soul on the line. And he said, no, I can't stand and watch in the Holy Ghost. See, that's the main thing. Make sure you're full of the Holy Ghost. Because if you're full, you ain't going to make a mistake. Right. Glory to God. If you're just part full, the other half is going to mess it up. But if you're full of the Holy Ghost from foot to top, hallelujah, amen, you're going to make the right choice. Yep. And he said, look, you child of the... You're full of all subtlety. Amen. All deceit. You're going to walk blind. Hallelujah. And the deputy got to sit back and say, this guy talked a good talk. He didn't do nothing. Here's a man who didn't have to say a whole lot, and that guy's walking around blind. And he looked at that, and he believed it. Yeah. Glory to God. He says, there's nothing I can say against this. That was sound doctrine.
Amen.
And sound doctrine in our message, brother, sister, God has given us the revealed word to show us that it still lives. Brother Branham, I'm gonna paraphrase this. If you've heard Faith is the Substance of Things Hoped For, it's Brother Branham's first sermon. But he goes through a story of he had a woman who claimed to have a whole lot of faith, but was on the verge of dying. And Brother Branham said, you know, we prayed for her and things, and she said, oh yeah, I believe, you know, I believe it. And Brother Branham even says something like, you know, if I had some time, I could have just let her go on and prayed for her and hoped, you know, and trusted that the Lord would take that little bit that she had and make it grow. But this woman about to die. And said, she don't really got the faith she needs. And she might not admit it, but he did. He said, I had enough discernment to know she didn't have the faith she said she did. So what did he do? He said, look, I want you say you believe this? He said, oh yeah, Brother Bram, I believe with all my heart. Okay, let me prove to you that you don't have the faith you think you do. And there was one of them little kid things, or what do they call it, mobiles or something with the little thing on top. He says, I want you to move that back and forth and then make it stop. He said, well, nobody can do that. He said, yeah, Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. See, was Brother Ram trying to show off? No, he cared about this woman about to die. He was trying to expose to her, look, you don't really believe what you think you do yet. You're not where you need to be. And he put it to the test. He said, look, go ahead, move it around. And he said, no, I can't. No man can do that. He said, yes, you can. Jesus said, and he even says, any man could do this if they believe it.
Right.
He said, as long as you get all the data away, you could do this just the same. He said, well, why haven't I had the faith? Because you want to show off and show your buddies how cool you are.
Yep.
Somebody's life's on the line, it changes things. And he could see that. And Brother Bram, he said he just took a minute, he focused on it, and by faith, he moved it, swayed it around back and forth, and then made it stop. What did that woman say? That's spiritualism! What is this? He said, I thought you'd say something like that. He said, you come from the Church of Christ. And in the sermon, he says, I probably shouldn't have said that. But he said, you know, you have a slogan. We'll speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent when the Bible's silent. He says, I still got the Bible speaking. You show me where it was silent. Glory to God. You see, the motive is what changes everything, brother, sister. And when you get to that channel where you're actually living in the Spirit of God, where you're protecting the revealed word, not intellectual word, but revealed word, that's when the miracles begin to unfold. The second you care more about someone else is the second God uses you to help that person in a supernatural way. We're all looking for all nine spiritual gifts. I went through in the office and I was praying to the Lord. I said, can you give me an example of everyone in this room? And I ran out of space. I shouldn't have drew this line here. Do you know that all nine have happened in this room? I don't know. Some of you might not believe that. And I want this on record. I wish that we had more of the people that's been coming here recently. Because, brother, sister, I'm going to warn this church. If we ever leave this as our truce, we've died. I got to say that again. If you leave an expectation of the things I'm about to read, that only happens in one out of a year. Brother, sister, if we have needs, this ought to happen every service.
Amen.
And I'm just going to talk from my examples, but you've all pulled these things, and it's been a lot of times your faith. Is this all right today?
Amen.
I don't know. I feel like I got that skeptic devil. Look, do I have your confidence? I'm not here to boast of myself. I'm here to show you this word is the only life left. And all these gifts have never left us, brother, sister. Hallelujah. And what I love about telling these things is I almost have to remember myself. Because and anybody that's spiritual knows, it's you, but it really isn't. And you have to almost go back and think, what did I say? What did I? Because it's the Holy Spirit takes over you. I'm sure Isaiah went back and said, did I really say a virgin will conceive? No, and say, yeah, we wrote it down. I said, well, that's the way it's going to be, because that wasn't me. That was the Lord. That's right. Brother Bram said it many times, and many people think he's just blowing hot air. But he said, well, I'm going to have to go back and listen to the tape, but I don't remember what I said. But was it true? Amen. Yes, it was. Amen. And this is going to get personal, because it deals with just about everybody in this room. Just make sure I had leeway there. But gift of wisdom. You remember when Brother Warren had to stay home that one Wednesday? And the Holy Spirit moved on me to tell Sister Susan, you know, don't fear about it no more. He's going to be just fine.
Right.
Look at that brother.
Yes,
and see, that was wisdom. Why? Because it not only helped him, but it helped her.
Yep,
sure. To say her, don't fear it no more. Yep. Yeah, he had to miss, but we're going to get the victory. It's coming back right now. Yes. Praise God.
Amen.
The gift of knowledge moved through. Remember when Brother Jason came forward and I told him he was praying for him before he got up here?
Yep.
And I told you that happened at Brother Fred's with three other people, didn't I? Knowledge, it's different than wisdom, because knowledge just tells you something that you didn't know. That's right. And I saw Brother Jason there about to get attacked, and four walls came up and said, no, I'm bound, I need to get out of this. And it was just the same one, kept coming up, and I could talk about visions. Remember when Sister Violet was walking down the sidewalk praying, and the Holy Spirit showed her, and the pillar of fire came down right on her, right here in the service. I watched it happen. So she's sitting there praising the Lord. Dwight, you're not alone, sis. He's still there with you. There was another time where I saw Sister Vicky look like she was going to get hit by something, and I saw Sister Violet's prayers come, and it deflected it off of her. That's right. This is, we don't serve God for naught. And the second I start talking about this, what happens? The faith that you already have begins to come alive when it should already be alive. Because these things never change. How many miracles has God got to do to keep our faith pumped up?
Amen.
We should believe it just the same now as ever. Hallelujah. Gifts of faith. Remember when Sister Violet's hip and back were hurting? She had to sit down, and brother, the Holy Spirit moved on me, and I went over and told her to rise and walk. Brother Alex is right here. Went to pray for her and said, nope, she's good.
Amen.
Same thing happened with Sister Shirley 3 or 4 times now. She's been right there in service. Boom. Sister Brenda 2 or 3 times. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Those are gifts of faith, brother, sister. Not even just mine, but yours as well.
Amen.
Faith is just say, you know what? It's what God said. That's what it is. Done.
Amen.
Oh, I want to see the gifts manifested. Have them run around you.
Amen.
See, we believe some devil's lie that this is some show. It's not a show. It's reality. It's the revealed word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Gifts of healing. Remember when Justin's neck came up here and he said, I can't raise my neck. And I didn't even pray for him. I said, be healed, buddy. And I went like that back and forth. I said, how are you feeling? He says, I feel good. And he went back there and praised the Lord just like this.
Yes.
How about Brother Austin's asthma when he came through and just laid hands on him? Isn't that right? Never been the same ever since. Glory to God. Remember Brother Dan's cold over here when the Holy Spirit told me to go lay hands. He said, be well, brother. And he started getting well right from that minute. Remember when Dad said he was going to have Crohn's and he could never get healed by it. And he said, took gift. He didn't even ask me to pray for it. I knew what he wanted to pray for. And I put hands on him. I said, you're going to be all right. And Dad, I know he believed that. But that's what the Bible told us to do. Lay hands on the sick, they will recover.
Amen.
Glory to God. How about Sister Carolyn's knees when we got to the end of the service and we were praising the Lord and she had been hurting real bad. And what did I say? Just the inspiration. Now, that ain't me. That's him. Said, even if you got to get on your knees and praise the Lord, go ahead and do it. And she answered it, got down, and didn't hurt her a bit.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Miracles that's happening here. I told you about Brenda and Shirley. Even Sister Sharon, how many members that when her shoulder was hurting, she went to raise this hand. I said, no, raise this one. And then she just, the Spirit got a hold of her. Isn't that right? How about Brother Roy's heart back there? And the Lord's been taking care of that ever since. He gave no end. Sister Madonna's heart, the Lord taking care of her. Isn't that right? We don't serve God for naught, brother, sister. Discerning spirits. We've seen devil discerned all over this place. Hallelujah. And I remember the one time, brother, it was actually Brother Kent. Remember sitting right here in that devil spirit trying to get on him. I said, brother, don't pay that thing no attention. That's right. That ain't no fun, Brother Ken. If I call it out every time, you'd all be in the ground right now, depressed with how many times the devil talks to you. You realize those comments of, don't worry about what's for lunch, where's a demon trying to talk to you?
Right.
Hallelujah. How about prophecy? Have we seen prophecy here? We have. We had the time, remember when, I forget who spoke in tongues, but I remember interpreting it, and it said in 3 days, you're going to see a judgment strike this world, or this nation. Sure enough, they had two F4 or F5, something like that. Tornadoes hit at the same time. It's never happened. They said, we've never seen that recorded in history. And I've said this before, and I've got mockery from it, but all those people that mock me, and I say it's the glory of God, have gone down a bad path.
Yep.
You all know that, and it's coming. And I don't say that to brag, but it's happened about 3 times where somebody's tried to come against me.
Yep.
And you don't recognize, you're not coming against me.
That's right.
It's a revealed word. And I showed you in the Bible that just because God pronounced a judgment doesn't mean you can't ask for grace.
Right.
And God had grace throughout that, didn't he? He was going to kill thousands. And I believe he turned it around. He said they couldn't even hardly find a few.
Yep.
It's the same with these last tornadoes came through. We prayed.
Yep.
I trust you did.
Yes.
And I hope you weren't just thinking of your own safety, but I was praying for everyone. I said, Lord, don't let this hurt anybody around here. There's a lot of believers around here. Sure enough, it missed.
Sure.
There was another time where it came forth at Brother Cam's church back on, I think I told you most of y'all about this, and this came on a Friday night, so we're going to see stuff this weekend we ain't never seen before. And sure enough, it took all the way till Sunday night service. Brother Brooks preached about 3 hours. And finally, my wife went up for prayer, began to dance in the Spirit, began to spread through, people speaking in tongues, dancing in the Holy Ghost. Some of you all were there. That's right. We had a mighty time. Nobody at church, I don't think, had seen anything like that in the message in a long, long time. Amen. And you all know the tongues we've had here. Sister Suzanne spoke, I've spoken in tongues. And honestly, I should go around the room and tell you all the ones of you that do. You might not have given a message in tongues, but you speak in tongues. It's you all. There's a lot of you. And we've believed the devil's lie that we ain't supposed to do it. I'm going to say it right now to liberate this church. When we worship the Lord, worshiping in tongues is mighty fun. There ain't nothing wrong with that, and you better do it.
Amen.
If you see somebody worshiping tongues, I'm going to tell you why. It's because they ran out of words.
Yeah.
And when you stand there going, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, I don't know what else to say. Chances are you're supposed to be speaking in tongues and let the Holy Spirit say it, and you're sitting there trying to reason it out what you're supposed to say. That ain't one time. Let the Holy Spirit have his way. He said he'll give you what to say when you don't know.
Amen.
That's right. Glory to God. And we've had interpretations. We understand. I have. Sister Susan has. And me and my wife that one time, you all remember that too. This stuff happens, brother, sister. And a lot of times interpretations are exhortations. They're messages to encourage us. They're messages to tell us that what was preached was actually true and we ought to listen to it. And some people think that that's not really the gift, but it's said for exhortation. It's one of the things it's used for. And I understand that exhortation, it doesn't take the same gift as a real, or same amount of faith as a real prophecy. And I know that because I've done both. As the Bible says, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. And until we can do the little things, why are we trying to shoot for the clouds, brother, sister? And actually, you shoot for the clouds, but the clouds are here. Have I convinced you yet that this message has done what it said it would?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's just what I thought up before church. How many more could we go through? Of the healings that's taking place in this room. Of the times people have got delivered of things I didn't even know nothing about. I said, Mom got healed one time. That's right here, praising the Lord. How many members of that? Back with killing her and got healed right here in the service. See, it's not us. It's not us protecting it intellectually. Those witnesses are what protect the Word from unbelief.
Amen.
The fowls, look, we can't change all unbelievers, but we can keep unbelief out of our own members. Amen, brother, sister. When we get to a service, there ought to be, I don't care what demon-possessed person comes in, they ought to notice one thing, something different around here than other churches. Every one of you that's brought guests, they know something's different here than when they've gone other places. And the shame of it is, we've sometimes taken them to other message churches and they don't have the same experience. I've been, and I'm saying this from my own experience, this sermon is totally for us today. How many knows that? I've taken people to a church and ashamed of what happened there. And look, God looks at that. God knows it. We don't need to go back and fix none of it. That's just the way it was. And you know what? I took Brother Alexander to a service I wasn't happy with. I took my brother Stephen to a service I wasn't really that happy with, but both of them, it didn't stop that seed from coming to the real word. Amen. They both got the Holy Ghost today.
Amen.
You only can do what God has told you to do, but never, ever fall short of Pentecost, brother, sister. God has given us this word. He is not, like he identified with Abram. He said, here's your sign that I'm going to do this. I'm going to accept your offering.
Amen.
Glory to God. How do we know that God is with us, brother, sister? Why is he with us? Because he accepts our offering.
Amen.
He accepts when we raise the Lord. He accepts our faith that reaches up. And how do we know? Because it becomes revealed truth. It drops out of heaven, comes off the pages, and it lives out through the service. It lives out not just here, but out through our lives. It lives when we go out of here. It lives when we go out into the world and they say, there's something different about that group of people right there. Hallelujah. You love the Lord today.
Amen.
You tell me how in the world I could have took that scripture and just preached to you what I did today. I'm going to tell you how. It's the revealed word, brother, sister.
Amen.
This written word, we'd have said, oh, you know, God was good. He gave him the atonement. And, you know, there was a mighty promise. Then we bring it today and say, God has given us the atonement. I love the day when God revealed to me, I'm not even saved by the blood, I'm saved by faith. And the blood is what keeps me clean. The blood is what washes me. But I was always saved. Glory to God, I just had something holding me down. I couldn't get back to where I had to. So the blood came and it washed it away. Hallelujah. And then I became what I always was. And my faith in that is what makes us move in these miracles, brother, sister. When I finally got to the place where I said, I'm done thinking about it. I'm just going to do what God said. That's when these things started happening.
Amen.
At least me personally, I hope it's the same for you.
Amen.
That we've said, Lord, drop it. It's been stuck up here too long, but I'm breaking up the fallow ground of my heart.
Amen.
That's kept it out of there too long. All my intellectualism, I'm just going to beat it all up with this, with my praise. I'm going to beat it up with my faith and let the unbelief just crack down so the word can finally drop into my soul and I can worship you in the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Even in church services here, brother, sister, look, and times where I really don't have an altar call because we're all Christians. I got that. But see, there's even times where we just need to dedicate ourselves again.
Amen.
And a lot of times, churches don't even give time to that no more. They want the move of the Holy Ghost, but man, give it 5 minutes.
That's right.
They got so used to watching the anointing on one man, they forgot it's supposed to be on everybody.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to be numbered of those that look back.
No way.
We want to be of those that press forward. I say, I know we've made a mess of things. I know for a lot of it, the message become a message. But for me and my house, I believe it.
Yes.
This is still the message of the Lord. And I don't care how much land I got left to take. I'm taking every inch of my ground. I don't care if there's 3 giants still on it.
Amen.
I don't care. I've been fighting for 40 years, 50 years, 80 years. Give me my mountain. Give me my children.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Give me my revival.
Yes, sir.
Give me my personal experience with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Give me the leading of the Holy Ghost that I know is already in my life.
Amen.
Take away my giants of unbelief and fill it with the Spirit of God that will actually protect the real revealed word.
Amen.
In this day. Let's stand together. Glory to God in the highest. We worship you, Lord. You're worthy of praise.
Hallelujah.
You're worthy of honor. You're worthy of glory. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Give me enough. We are standing. just have to say the truth that I believe is in my heart. I pray for those brothers of mine. I believe with all of them that they're servants of the Lord. I plan on going in a rapture with them. And I'm praying God reveal to them the same things revealed to us. I'm not against them. Oh, the devil tell you I am. I'm not saying I'm better than them. I'm not. I'm the chief of sinners. But for the grace of God, I wouldn't be standing here. Can't help but give God praise for what I know He has done. Not that I've done, but what He has done. Thank the Lord. Their heads bowed before Him. Hallelujah. Aren't you just happy to be a Christian? As we approach the one we love that's here with us now, the one that gives us revelation, the one that tells us what we need to do, where we need to go and how we need to live, and He's constantly there. And as long as we listen to Him, brother, sister, you don't have to worry about no condemnation. It won't be nowhere to be found. Hallelujah. And I thank Him for taking care of us. I've talked about many miracles, many things, but even the revelations God gives us to us is just as supernatural as anything else. One brother I just thought of, about the only one in this room I don't think I talked about, and that was Brother Rodney. There was a time when Brother Rodney just wasn't able to make it on Wednesdays, just never seemed to make it on Wednesdays. And I came to Brother Sister Suzanne, led of the Holy Ghost, and I said, "You tell Brother Rodney it's time to come to church on Wednesdays." She kind of gave a little snicker, and I said, "No, I ain't just saying it this time. Tell him it's time to come." And he's been here ever since. Why? The Holy Ghost gave him a revelation. We can think it up in our head all we want to, but the Holy Ghost, and brother, sister, what a miracle even in that whole family. What a miracle in this whole family in this room right now. There ain't a one of us should be standing here right now. We've all made so many mistakes, we don't deserve the grace of God. But God has taken people from here and there and this life and this train wreck and put it together. And what's He making? The most beautiful image there's ever been. The bride of Jesus Christ. Do you believe you're part of that bride? I believe each one of you are. God ain't calling you to this to not give you true guidance, true revelation. He ain't here to let you die now. Sure, it looks like you're in the middle of the night. There's terror coming upon you. You've done all you know to serve the Lord. It just seemed like it ain't working just right. Hold on to that word. You'll wake up in the morning with a promise. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Abram had the terror of the night come upon him. But he woke up knowing, I've got my promise. I will be inheritor of this land. Hallelujah. And God even told him, you're going to go to the grave at a good old age and full of days. Hallelujah. And we're not even going to go to a grave, brother, sister. We're going to go to a land beyond the river called the Sweet Forever. And God has opened the seals, shown you back there. I may say, Lord, I accept your word today for myself. That these miracles, these works of the Spirit are because I'm a child of God. It's because my brothers and my sisters are in this room. We're children of God. And you've not forsaken us, Lord, but you'll see us all the way through. And Lord, let's just pray with all of our hearts. I'll lead, but pray out there. Pray right to Him tonight. Say, even if it's just, Lord, for what you've done. I think we've got so much to be thankful for tonight. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for a group of people that really believe you. For a group of people that are going to go all the way, Lord. We're not going to stop short, but we're going to cross that river. It doesn't matter how many valleys we go through, how many trials, how many dark times. Lord, we want to stay with your word wherever you lead us. And Lord, we take our hearts, we put them on the altar once again. Say, Father, let that blood just take away all my unbelief. Take away all my doubt, all my fear. And let today be another day where I get my renewed strength to press the battle. To guard this word, not in my head, but with my life. That Lord, when the weary soul would come, may they be able to find a drink of everlasting water for my life. When people need prayer, Father, may they be able to have an agent of faith in my soul, Lord. God, we dedicate ourselves afresh to you and to the kingdom and to the promises laid before us, Father. You told your prophet to store up that food, and we believe we can still feed on it today. And we thank you for it. I pray for each one that's here. Lord, may not, if I've said something wrong, I pray you forgive me, Lord. And I pray that people understand the revelation you've shown me. And may it destroy all the works of the devil. Again, we pray for the brothers in this message. God, don't let one of them stop short of Pentecost. Don't let one of them get on this intellectual fighting. But may they stay in the presence of God. May they stay on the divine gifts of God. That's where our inheritance lies, in the promise of the Holy Ghost. Grant each one, I pray for each one in this room, that we would be back in the Spirit of God where we ought to be, Lord. That we'd always worship in the Spirit. We'd live in the Spirit. We'd rejoice in the Spirit. And Lord, we'd always come into this house believing all things are possible. Grant it to us, Lord, we pray. We commit it to you as a faithful creator. Lord, I lay these jewels on your crown. Say, Lord, thank you for all the grace you've shown us. Thank you for the miracles you've done. Thank you for taking care of each one of us, Father. We give you the praise now. Ask these things to be so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As Dad sings, I exalt thee, I exalt thee. Take a moment before we sing it. Let's take our heart and really exalt the Lord. Take him your own way and lift up his name. Say, Lord, you're so worthy of praise. So worthy of honor, so worthy of glory, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Let that expectation rise. Is there a need in this room? Then do not leave with it. Let it be met today. Hallelujah. Take your heart and yield it to the Holy Ghost. Believe for big things. The prophet said big things just as easy to receive as little things. What do you have need of, brother, sister? Lay it there today. You proclaim it. You let the word come out of your lips. Let it become the revealed word. And how do you guard it? Just like our sister Carolyn did. Somebody else say something. Did sister say some unbelief? No, it's not that. It's what the promise is. No, the doctors, they're going to turn you down. They're not going to give it to you. But we don't believe that. We're casting those fowls out. We're believing what the word said. That was a perfect example of what to do for all of us. Glory! Hallelujah! Stand like Moses, some of you older folks, for your family. Say, we ain't leaving a hoof behind. Glory to God. And as you begin to believe that, as you begin to receive it, give him all the praise. Give him all the praise. Praise him as if it's already done. And you watch, as long as you keep that up and never let down, you'll wake up to a real promise one of these days. Oh, glory. Glory, glory. I've done all I'm supposed to do. Let's just take the rest of the service and worship the Lord now with all of our hearts. Sing it to him. Yes, Lord.
Oh, I exalt thee.
Oh, hallelujah.
I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt
thee. Glory to God. Aren't you happy today? Yes, Lord. Your hearts to God.
Oh, I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh, I exalt thee. Oh, Lord, oh, my Lord.
worshiping you with all of our heart. I know, Lord, as my sister knows, you're working all things together for good. We pray you'd come on the scene, Lord. May you anoint this call to bring healing. And as it begins to heal your flesh, oh God, let it heal your soul. May it penetrate deep. Show, Lord, that you're the only one who really helps. Lord, we commit it to you as two believers. You said if we agree on one thing, you do it. And I agree now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Receive it right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
Thank you for the Holy Ghost,
Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be thy name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Every soul find a refuge from the things of this world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, blessed Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be thy holy name, Father. Bless thy holy name, God. Praise Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, how I adore you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love you, my Lord. Glory to God.
I'm just following in your footsteps.
We worship you, Lord, in the spirit, Lord.
Lord, as you in truth. Reveal it to me, Lord. I step into it each time. Thank you for the revealed word, Father. Your step, Lord, is my step. Oh, I praise you. I worship you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Father. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, Lord Jesus.
I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way.
I'm on my way to Canaan's land.